Blog Talk Radio.
This is Scott Middleton, host of I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. When I want to listen to a podcast, I listen to Body Slam, the competition weekly podcast. They talk about nowadays wrestling. They talk about 80s wrestling, 70s wrestling, all the older wrestling too. So do what I do. Listen to Body Slam, the competition weekly podcast. You can find it on iTunes.
Welcome to I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Middleton, and today's episode is remembering four-time AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Bockwinkel. And for the next hour, we'll be talking about some of his greatest matches, some of his greatest feuds, and what fans think of Nick Bockwinkel and their opinions. And right now, I have one of my guest co-hosts, here, special co-host. He is a 24-time heavyweight champion and the current UIWA World Heavyweight Champion. He is Superstar Steve Stardom. Welcome to the show, Superstar Steve Stardom.
Thank you very much, Scotty. I appreciate it. I was looking very much forward to this. This is my first appearance on here in voice only. And again, I was looking very forward to it because we're going to be talking about someone that I grew up watching very, very often, someone I've had the pleasure and opportunity to meet on many occasions. I actually have one little interesting story. I can say a couple about Nick Bockwinkel, lots of stories. I've met Nick a lot of times. I've met him, I've seen him first in Minneapolis, of course, the AWA. I've watched many of his matches actually on the internet from other areas that he's wrestled in aside from the Midwest. He made appearances frequently down in Texas for Southwest Championship Wrestling. He wrestled in Japan often. He wrestled all over the world, but he's, you know, been in a lot of places, wrestled a great variety of opponents he did when he was here with us. And very reminiscent to me. Nick Bockwinkel was the epitome of a great all-around wrestler in every facet. He's the kind of wrestler that I kind of would pattern myself after, actually.
That sounds like a, you know, that you really like Nick Bockwinkel and, you know, just, you know, like how I said, I really like Nick Bockwinkel too. And now one of our other hosts has just called in. This guy, he is, if you go to wrestling in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Tennessee, Washington, Oregon, and even Puerto Rico, and he is the current IGWA Universe Champion, he is Chief Atakulakula. Welcome to the show, Chief Atakulakula.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. We're going to...
Now, Scott, before you start with Chief there, don't use too many big words for him now so he can understand things now.
I'll try. And I got an email from United Airways for the Chief saying, you got to quit flying because they got to raise their frequent flyer miles to get a free flight. So you got to cut down on your going everywhere, Chief.
Well, especially United. Yeah, I've had my trouble with them, but you know how that is.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, now I was going to ask you a question that I had already thought of that Superstar Steve Stardom already touched on this, but I'll just want you to kind of repeat if people's just tuning in. When you hear the name Nick Bockwinkel, what comes to your mind? Let's start with Chief on this one.
The first word that probably does this is class. You know, he was a classy guy. You know, even though he was a hated heel, you know, he came across as classy in his promos, even the way he carried himself in the ring, on his way to the ring, and just all around. He's just, you know, you and I have talked, you know, over the years, but, you know, hours and hours on end about wrestling, and of course, you know, I'm a huge fan of Flair, but I've always said Bockwinkel was really, I think, underappreciated maybe during his career, and I put him right up there, you know, right beside Flair in terms of in-ring ability, psychology, promos, completely different kind of promos than Flair, but he didn't have to raise his voice. He could get his point across. Just all-around class act.
How about you, Superstar Steve Sarton?
Well, I hate to jump on the bandwagon, obviously, but I would have to concur with many of the Chief's points there, obviously. Like I said, I had the opportunity to meet Nick many times over the years in different areas. Met him, of course, here in Minneapolis. I live residing outside of, and met him in Atlanta, Georgia for a Legends reunion down there. And have just met him many times, even after matches. One thing about Nick, he would take the time out after a match to stop and do the autographs and that and stuff, if it wasn't a huge crowd of people in that. If there was just a small one person, few people, a little group, maybe he would stop long enough to do so. Nick, yes, again, I hate to jump on the bandwagon, but I would concur on most all levels. To me, a very sad fact that, yes, very underappreciated for his level of talent, because back in the day when he was champion, when he started, his level of work and competition and in-ring and out of the ring, his microphone abilities, his promos, everything was a little bit step above everyone else. And like Chief said, he didn't have to holler and scream and yell how good he was. See, he was not liked or hated, I guess, if you want to put it, just by the simple fact he would speak to you as if he was speaking down to you. You were not in his level of intelligence. You were, as Bobby Heenan used to state, you were humanoids. So he could do that in such a way to irate fans by making them feel small and little, and that you're not up to my comparison. And again, Nick Bockwinkel, as far as his in-ring ability, like I stated a little earlier, this kind of wrestler I would emulate myself after, because Nick could do it all. He wasn't a huge man, went about 240, 250 at his biggest, but he could do wrestling. He could fight if he had to. And again, he got by on the one thing that set him apart from everyone else was his intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I agree with both of you. Like when I hear Nick Bockwinkel's name, I agree with both of you guys on that part, that he was just a tremendous wrestler, and like you both said, unfortunately, kind of underappreciated and kind of underrated, but still a great, great wrestler. Now, I want to play this little clip that I have of if the listeners tuned in to the discussing Starrcade and Survivor Series. This Chris guy was a co-host. He couldn't be here today, but he sent me a voice message that he wanted to say what he thought of Nick Bockwinkel. And then we can discuss that after this is done.
Okay, Scott, thanks for taking my input on Nick Bockwinkel today. I loved watching Nick Bockwinkel when I was younger. Nick Bockwinkel was a man that I felt, looking back on him today, was probably a little bit ahead of his time. He was able to really control a crowd when he talked. He talked very eloquently when he talked. I mean, he's a man who could pretty much insult you and make you thank him for it when he does it. I mean, he's that smooth when he talks to you. And having Bobby Heenan in his corner back in his early days was a great addition for him as a heel to help solidify that as well, because technically by himself, I don't know that he was a great heel. He was a great babyface by himself, but not so much of a heel without that little extra help from Heenan, I think, and Ray Stevens a couple of times. I mentioned great technical wrestler. He could throw down with anybody in the ring technically, and then he could brawl with the best of them. Now, there's a few matches that stand out for me in particular with him, a few different things. He had a great feud with Larry Zbysko later in his years when he was a babyface. Also, they were the AWA had a mutual thing with the CWA in Memphis. That's what I grew up watching in Tennessee, which was Jerry Lawler territory. And him and Jerry Lawler had a great number of matches, a series of matches that all went 60 minutes. I'm talking full 60-minute Broadways, come out to a draw, no winner in the end. And it was just great to watch, very exciting, kept you on the edge of your seat. You never know who was going to come out on top at that point in time, but it was great stuff. And those are my favorite Nick Bockwinkel matches pretty much of all time. You asked me earlier what I thought kids today should know about Nick Bockwinkel. Well, don't just look back and say, oh, he's old, I don't care nothing about this guy. You know, look back, look him up on YouTube, check out his matches. Check out how well he moved in the ring. He was not a high flyer. He didn't have to be because he was very technically sound as a wrestler. Check out his interviews, his promos he cut. He was great on a microphone. Like I said, very smooth on the mic. He could talk the talk. He could walk the walk. He could back it up anytime against anybody, any place. I almost feel that Vern Gagne didn't even know what he had in Nick Bockwinkel because he did not promote him very well. If he had promoted him better than what he did, Nick Bockwinkel may have been more on top than Flair and Hogan were during that era. It's very possible. We'll never know at this point because it never got to happen, and eventually the AWA closed down. But Nick Bockwinkel, once again, one of the best ever that should be remembered for what he did in the ring as a champion. He was a class champion, hands down. And that's pretty much what I got on Bockwinkel. Thank you.
All right, and now we're joined by another guest host. He is a two-time world-class championship wrestling tag team champion and a former Global Wrestling Federation wrestler. He is Steve Cox. Welcome to the show, Steve Cox.
Hey, how you doing? And, yeah, I started out in UWF, by the way. But, I was listening to what you were saying, you know, Bart and Nick and all that guy, class act, you know, that kind of scenario, but got to add to it. Now, Nick, you know, he's one of those guys, he's a territorial guy, just like Lawler was, you know what I'm saying? You had Nick, you had Lawler, each territory seemed to have their top guy. And, you know, back in the day, sooner or later, everybody ends up going through New York, or do they, unless you got Japan, but... You know, Nick, all those guys from that era, and he's talking about doing a 60-minute Broadway. You know, it's just they all could do that, and they all could carry matches, and it's a progression and understanding of the business. But, you know, that's telling you how old Nick is or I am. You know, I was a young kid when I got around Nick, you know, working with Byrne and all those guys and in that regard. So, but, you know, what the guy was just saying is true. You know, all those guys were, you know, wore suits and, you know, they played the part. You know, they were the champions, territorial champions, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Okay, now I want to ask you three this question. If the AWA was as big as the NWA, do you think Nick Bockwinkel could have been bigger than Flair or at the same level? Let's start with
you
start him on this one.
Well, no, the thing with, you know, if you're going to make a comparison and contrast to Flair and Bockwinkel, I mean, obviously there are similar technical styles with each of them. However, personality styles are opposites, where Flair, you know, we all know gets excitable, has very excitable interviews and promos done very well. And again, he gets his point across as to who he wants to accomplish with who and what program and angle that he's doing at the time. Bockwinkel, again, like Chief had mentioned earlier, more quiet, more distinguished, more classy. He will still tell you what he's going to accomplish, but he's going to tell you in a much more subdued manner of what he's going to do. But the thing was, still, when Nick Bockwinkel spoke, you listened. Because he was interesting to listen to. You know, wrestling is human chess, and that's what I like to think of Nick Bockwinkel and Flair, actually. You know, chess players can think ahead of time moves, counter moves, and stuff. I did happen to see a match in Canada between Nick and Flair, and if I remember correctly, I went to a count out or a double disqualification, whatever the case may be, but it was AWA champion versus NWA champion. I do like these double championship matches once in a while. They don't happen that often as they should. And again, I will concur with something that Steve mentioned earlier, was that, yeah, Nick should have been promoted better than what Vern did. Now, again, I grew up in Midwest Minneapolis area, and that saw Nick, you know, all the AWA wrestlers from the time I was 4 years old and up. Again, got to meet Nick on a few occasions in Georgia, up here in Minneapolis, in different areas. I would say, yeah, Nick could have been promoted as big as Flair, or at least to a comparable even keel with the both of them.
How about you, Chief?
So your question was
if the AWA
had been as big. You know, at one point, I'd say it actually probably was. I mean, that the NWA had more individual territories, but at one point the AWA was a place where everybody wanted to go because they were one of the top paying areas, and they had a lighter schedule, travel schedule than a lot of the other places. But I definitely think he could have been promoted better as champion, you know, which Vern didn't for some reason or another. I mean, but in Bockwinkle, yeah, if Bockwinkle had ever ventured away from the AWA more, I mean, once he got there, he kind of, you know, he traveled when he was younger a lot of places, but he kind of spent the last, 20 years of his career there or more. And if he had traveled out a little bit more, it's interesting to see what would happen. You know, he went down as an AWA champion. He went down to Memphis, and he went down to Texas. He used to go down to San Antonio for the Blanchards. For the Blanchards and defend down there. They were kind of a sub-territory of the AWA, too. He recognized the title. But, if he'd ever ventured away and actually went to work for the Crockett's or somewhere else, you know, he probably, with their national TV, definitely, it's hard to tell what would have happened, you know. One thing I want to go back to about, we were talking about his style of promo is different than Flair. You know, there were a few times when storyline dictated in promos where Bockwinkle actually did raise his voice and lose his temper, you know, in the promo. And whenever that did happen over the years, it actually really meant something just because his promos were, you know, he were actually calm and more subdued most of the time. So when he actually did come unglued in a promo, which was rare, then you know it meant something.
Yeah, actually, just to concur on one point there Chief is making about that, yeah, actually, one comes to mind is a match the other gentleman mentioned with Jerry Lawler in Memphis. Bockwinkle got the losing fall in a match. Lawler apparently, or Bockwinkle, I should say, had his foot on the rope. They gave Lawler the pin, but then it was held up. But Nick came to the back. He was bloody, beaten, and very angry to the fact that Jerry Lawler uses a lot of fists in a match. So he proposed a match after that any time Lawler would throw a punch in a match, he'd get fined $500 per punch. And that came out of a very good angle, again, a good program between the two of them from the already huge angle that they'd already had prior to that. But, yeah, Nick was very adamant, very fired up, very revved up, just challenging. He would challenge wrestlers to wrestle him, you know, to see if they could wrestle him instead of punch or brawl or whatever their style may be. So, yeah, Nick would get quite animated when those situations occurred.
Yeah. And how about you, Steve Cox? Do you think Nick could have been as big as Flair?
That's interesting. You know, I worked a lot of cards worked a lot with Jerry and then also a lot with Flair. But, you know, Nick, you got to look at Vern. You know, Vern, he had credentials. And really, that's pretty much how I got over with Vern. Anytime I went up there, you know, work one body part, one way wrestle, you know, you win it, you know, by your grappling skills, you know, this kind of introduction. You know, got that old school transition out of the 60s. You know, but I say that because, hell, I watched a lot of Fritz and all that shit where they just beat the living shit out of each other down in Texas style, that Rom Stomp. But, you know, if you watch the Flair match, and a lot of marks never could pick up on it. You see one Flair match, you see them all. It's just same, change it up. You know, Flair take a bag and shake it up, and what he pulls out to work a match, especially, you know, they're great matches, don't get me wrong. And, you know, Nick had just a whole different style of you know, a whole lot of work in the matches, going right back into something. You saw the Andersons doing a lot of that, you know. You know, Arn Anderson. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where it's, you know, no matter what you do, this, that, a god dang bang, or right back into an arm drag. Bing and a boom and a bang and a ding, right? Bam, right back into an arm drag. And it goes back to Vern. You know, Vern, hell, he's a shoot guy and hell, but, you know, Vern was real good because Nick wasn't going anywhere because he had a great gig. You know, it was kind of like telling him in my career, hell, you know, shit, why give up Japan? You know, so go to New York. But, you know, working with Flair, you know, you sit there and watch him, you know, god dang, Flair, this is the night he's dropping the strap. This is the night he did, damn, Flair pulls it out. You know, Nick is always back and forth. You know, this guy can really grapple and that guy can really grapple. And you know, but Nick was kind of at that tail end of that, you know, black and white, sheer boots, you know, grappling. You know, things were solved in the middle of the ring as they slowly transitioned to coming off the ropes, a little more high flying, a little more flair into the deal. And I give Vern credit. It's hell, he brought, you know, some of the people he brought in, Road Warriors and the other guys, and really started out of that whole territory bringing it. But, you know, Nick was that solid guy that shows people how to work. You know, less is more. And a lot of these kids don't even get the shit. You know, you could literally, you know, fight. And I've been sitting there where you got a vet walk by. I said, well, we got tonight. He said, all right, let's do 30 minutes, start slow, taper off, go the same finish we did 2 weeks ago. Got it, let's go. You know, what the hell you mean start slow, taper off? You know, you got to put your time in a business to understand that, working with these old school guys. And that was Nick. He was always in the middle of the ring. You know, Andersons were like that. Nick was like that. You know, real tough. Everything enforced, everything meant something. Flair, you know, god dang it, he'd bounce a bing and a boom and that and this and shit, he's going to lose it tonight. And, you know, everybody get on the edge of your seat because this is the night we're going to see Flair drop the strap and, damn, Flair pulls it out. You know, Nick was back and forth and eventually he was just a better, you know, you could just tell. Oh, through the course of the match, the grappling skills are just far superior than the other guy. But, you know, like you say, with Lawler, you know, hell, Lawler, same deal. He is a top territorial guy, just like with Von Erichs. You know, Lawler, being in the boom, same deal. And then as soon as he pulled that little strap on his uniform down, shit, the crowd popped like a motherfucker, and off they go, you know. But I like Nick. Because, you know, well, back in my day, with territory days, fuck, you're running 250 matches a year. You get so fucking bored, you go out and steal everybody else's matches, you know. It's like when we worked at, I was running with Michael Hayes and the Samoans. Shit, we just went out and did midget matches and shit. Or, you know, and then it pissed guys off like Nick and those guys because, you know, they're purists, you know. The business is serious as shit. It's a shit, it's kayfabe. And we're out there still all little Tokyo shit, pissing off Tok. Maybe hot as hell. And, but, you know, and then it was just like working with Lawler, you know, because Lawler, you know, they're a little mad territory, high speed, high impact, you know. And then I started out with UWF and then the WCCW style, you know, just fuck, rough, tough, mean son of bitches. And AWA was kind of a nice blend of some real big, stiff, hardcore guys. But Nick, no matter what, and you put the Anderson there, West Texas guys coming out like that, were like that, you know, you just, no matter what, you're either going to be back on the leg, you know, on the leg, basically the leg, and grapple that style. But, you know, but it was always fun to watch, and then you get bored, and then you just go out and have a Dick Buckwheel match or an Arn Anderson match or, hey, let's try shit up, you know, fuck around Brad Armstrong or somebody, let's go do this shit. And, but, you know, a consummate gentleman, you know, one of the old school guys, you know, always had on the suits and ties, well-represented, well-spoken, kind, you know, the kind, you know, just like San Martino. You follow me, those guys from that generation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they live that persona, you know, because no matter what, if they walked in and sat down at a booth, you knew they weren't from around there, and you knew they were a different breed of cats. It's just that simple, you know. Yeah. Now, when I was working business, walking in shit, they could tell us we just fucking off the wall, goofy looking motherfuckers, but, you know, you didn't fuck with us, but, you know, crazy as hell. So, that's the point that Steve there too, because Bockwinkel, the thing that was not with Nick, that was really a good, to his credit, Nick could get in the ring and work with anybody of any style. Seen him work Junkyard Dog, Dino Bravo, Rick Martel, Stan Hansen. You know, he could work any variety, size, ability of opponent and make it look good.
The formula
is the same, but it's the innovation that's different. And really, back in my day, it was a real small clique. So everybody kind of studied everybody else and what their get-over shit is and what really works and what don't. But you're right. When you were those old-time guys, it's fucking, you know, it's a privilege. It's neat. You just see with less is more. What pops the crowd, what gets over, what don't. And that's what really changed, you know, and the other people still got that form as New York, but anyway.
All right. We got a caller on the hold line right now. The number is 267. If you tell us your name and your thoughts of Nick Bockwinkel, you're on the air.
Yeah, what's going on, man? This is Johnny Logan of Top Rope Wrestling, Top Rope Radio, Top Rope TV. And my thought on Nick Bockwinkel, great man. When I first met him, I was in Las Vegas for the Cauliflower Alley Club at Gold Coast Casino on Flamingo. And he was there, and I was actually moving back to the Philadelphia area, and I was tag team partners with a very good friend of mine, Jackson Daniels. We started doing this, like, redneck tag team, and we won the Maximum Championship Wrestling tag team titles. And then MCW wound up getting an affiliation with the AWA, which at that time, if I remember right, it was like $30 a month, $40 a month for the affiliation. But anyway, we got to meet Nick, and his advice was, I just went up to him and asked if there was any encouragement that he could give us. His exact words were, not to worry about anybody else in the locker room. Worry about what the people think. And basically keep them entertained. And then he walked away. So with that, we carried that, and I carried that with me for 20 years, entertained crowds, and Nick was a gentleman, a true gentleman, about everything that he did. He loved his business until he finally passed away. But I'm pretty sure it was in his head. You know, he just loved his business and then loved everybody in it. And if he can give advice, he would give it. And, you know, he was a great man.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the show, if you want to call in and tell us what your opinion of Nick Bockwinkel is, the number to call is 646-668-887, or you can email us at ilove80swrestling@gmail.com. Now, if you'll hold on the line here, Nick, John, I want you to get into this conversation too. Now, in your guys' opinion, what was Nick Bockwinkel's best feud? Let's start with Chief on this one.
His best feud, you know, I don't know. It, I mean, you could even go back to when he teamed with Ray Stevens, or, you know, I mean, you go back to the 70s and the 60s, you know, the tag team feuds he had. I guess as a singles, you know, the matches with Henning, like everybody says, the matches with Henning were phenomenal. He actually had really good matches in the early 80s with Hogan, you know, and that was probably, you know, before Hogan went to the WWF. Yeah, before the Hogan was in WWF, that was probably probably his biggest, you know, might have been his biggest money feud, because I know they feuded for like 2-3 years in the early 80s, and that's what I think got Vince on to Hogan and bringing him in, because he actually, you know, the AWA is what put him over originally. I don't know. I don't know what, if I'd pinpoint one that was his greatest feud. You know, like I said, his matches with Henning were amazing. You know, he had some great matches with Martel. Probably my favorite personal one, I don't know if it was with everybody else, were probably his matches with Jumbo Tsuruta when they traded the title back and forth a couple of times. I enjoyed their short feud and their title swaps and their matches. I'm sure for probably the basic AWA fan or even wrestling fan, that probably wasn't the highlight of his career, but it was personally one of my favorite series of matches for him.
How about you, superstar Steve Stardom? What was his best feud, in your opinion?
Let's not forget Otto Bonds from Austria. had a little bit of a respite there with Nick for a short while as well. But, you know, if you talk to people up in the Midwest here, especially up in the Minneapolis area, of course, one of the big feuds up there, obviously, Nick kind of knocked out the legend of Vern up here. You know, he took the title from Vern up here. So that's always in the minds of people up here. You know, Vern was like a San Martino or somebody, you know, an invincible guy that, you know, you're wondering who is going to come on the horizon to beat him. Well, here comes Nick. And it took one of, you know, Vern was a 13-time champion, they say, up here. So Nick won the best reigns away from him, and that definitely stayed in the minds of people. For me personally, like I said, I just like watching Nick in a lot of different I saw him wrestle Dory Funk Jr. in Atlanta, Georgia, live. And that was a hell of a match. Actually, I saw some better matches with Nick and Corey just in the Southwest area that Chief mentioned earlier with Joel Blanchard. You had good matches with Terry Funk. He had great matches with Rick Martel when they were going feuding. Jumbo Tsuruta that Chief had mentioned earlier, they had some great matches there also. Kurt Henning, there was one match up here, an hour-long match that was still trying to find on YouTube somewhere, because unfortunately I never did get to see it. Nick and Larry Zbyszko, I think if it would have had more time to develop, I think could have been an awesome feud. Again, two very good, technically sound guys, and could really put on a good show.
How about you, Steve Cox? What do you think Nick's best feud was?
You know, Vern just brought me in because I had, you know, credentials myself, because, you know, they like, you know, Vern, Watts, Fritz, all those guys like athletes and stuff like that. But I liked the old man Henning, and then when they brought in the kid, you know, that was fun to watch. You know, it was just fun to watch, you know, bringing the kid along. But like you were saying with Hogan, you know, they had to get somebody smarting Hogan up and try to actually make some money with a guy who looked so good. But, yeah, Henning carried that. I bet, you know, Nick carried that. But I really enjoyed watching that, you know, bringing Kurt up to speed. And then also goes back to, and actually, you know, Watts was actually telling me this stuff, you know, with Vern and Mott Winkle would go at it. You know, there were some crazy-ass matches. You know, it would be worth your time to watch. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't have YouTube back then. And, you know, I'd recommend, like the one gentleman said, for Christ's sake, get on YouTube and pull up these old matches. What's old is new and new is old. And utilize some of those matches because, you know, I've gotten into the promoting business. And these kids and the talent is so bad, it's ridiculous. Not that they don't have the look or the physical capabilities, but they just, you know, they have no clue, and they want to get in the ring and focus in on each other and need to watch these old guys to show them how less is more and slow down, taper off and that. But Christ fucking sake, if anybody's in the business, listen to this shit, take the advice like the gentleman said, get on YouTube, and I've yet to find one kid that really knows the history of the business, or watching the old matches, or these old school matches, and don't get me wrong, TV and house shows, big difference, but god dang, just study the art. We're talking about Nick Bockwinkel. Well, hopefully you know who the fuck we're talking about. And from that, go out and show me a Nick Bockwinkel match, or show me an Arn Anderson match. So how about Larry Zbysko match? Work that style, you know. But in our day, we'd be so bored. But, you know, with these kids, you know, we're out here talking about it. You guys see this, YouTube is no excuse. I mean, god damn, people, they're some of the greats. And my whole career, and I'm doing now promotions, I stole everything that worked, but I made up my own. You know, you kind of roll up through the business and you learn moves and do things, but they need to watch some of these old-time guys and just, you know, watch how they move, how they walk, like you're saying, the presence in the ring and what they radiate. They, you know, they literally just, you know, they're rascals, for Christ's sake. But anyway,
yeah, exactly.
That's my 2 cents worth, but. You know, if there are any of you young guys listening, God, and I'm telling you, I get back, and it's funny. They say, why aren't you watching the match? And here's a Vern Gagne thing I picked up. Bill Watts, I position myself because we're a casino. We're doing really good, you know. But I listen to the crowd. I don't really watch the match. I know the match. Hell, I'm the book. I set the shit up, me and John Keaton. But, you know, it just, you know, learning a style, they have no clue less is more. They want to get in there and do that semi-day four ring honor shit, you know. But anyway, that's my 2 cents on it. I love Nick, consummate gentleman like you guys said, and I was very blessed to be in the back and had the opportunity to meet and work for Vern Gagne, meet Nick Bockwinkel, meet all the greats, you know what I'm saying, and how they carried themselves. But he was a true throwback of a Bruno Sammartino, you know, a Nick Bockwinkel. You know, they were always dressed up. They were always consummate. And then their ring presence, you know, they ran the show, you know, so it was good. So it was a blessing. But this is what these guys are saying, you know. Shoot, study the craft. Watch these guys. What is old is new. Listen to me. I'm promoting. I'm going to have what is old is new. Impress me. Come in and work for me and then show me something. Anyway. For my, you know, that makes sense. Anyway, these kids, they want to do it all.
How about you, John? What's your favorite Nick Bockwinkel feud?
Well, listening to all these guys on here, and first off, let me say hi to the Chief. It's been a long time, buddy, and I hope you're doing good.
Doing good. Thanks, buddy. Hopefully I'll make it out your direction here soon, so.
I'm hoping so. I sent, you know, like I said, I sent you all the dates, so you just let me know when you can. You're always welcomed. I'm pretty sure all these gentlemen here on your switchboard, we're all on the same page. We can sit here and talk about all of our favorite matches of Nick Bockwinkel. You heard Chief talk about Nick and Hogan, Stevens Hogan. You know, when I was young, we didn't really get AWA on television. I'm 42 years old. I live out of the Philadelphia area, and we didn't get AWA on television. I had to go out and go to little tiny wrestling stores, little hobby stores, and find AWA on VHS, which, you know, if I say VHS or beta, that explains, you know, my age. But you know what? Honestly, I'm going to say one of my favorites that I've seen, and it was the first match I ever seen Nick Bockwinkel in. He did defend the AWA Championship against Hulk Hogan. And I believe in that match, if I remember correctly, it's been a really long time since I've seen that thing, because he put Hogan over. If I remember correctly, everybody ran into the ring and all that stuff. If I remember right, and I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the gentleman before me. Let me apologize if I don't know your name, sir. I do apologize. I agree. Right now, you it's not wrestling. Back in the day, when it was spelled with an R, You know, you had, it was wrestling. You had greats, like you, all you gentlemen on here are talking about the greats. Bruno Sammartino, one of my favorites, Buzz Sawyer.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. Let's. I'm a Freebird fan. The Von Erich family.
Yeah. Where are all
I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed Kabuki. I enjoy Muda still to this day. You guys. I'm pretty sure you guys remember Steve Simpson.
Oh, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another great guy. Right. One of my favorites still to this day, and every time we see each other, he still tries to sell me his book, Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. buy my book. Buy my book, you know?
Yeah.
But great guy. You don't see wrestling. You know, you gentlemen here are talking about territories. I do miss those days, honest to God. Chief will tell you, I'm very old school. I was taught old school. Then when, you know, wrestling changes just about every day these days, and sometimes it's hard to keep up. And a lot of these younger guys, they don't respect the old school. And I think they need to. Either that or break them in the right way. You know, these young guys don't really know. They don't go back and study. They just figure, I like wrestling. I'm going to go to wrestling school and learn how to do this. But not being taught the right way. I like to blame the trainers. You know,
yeah.
If you're not going to teach them the old school way, you know, then why teach them at all? That's my thing. But I do miss wrestling. As far as wrestling, well, you guys were talking about Ring of Honor. One of my uncle happens to work with Ring of Honor once in a while, and he goes by Dumbass Uncle Jethro. And Ring of Honor, he comes out with the Briscoe brothers. I love those guys. Mark and Jay, great guys in and outside of this business. Two great guys. They're awesome. And I respect old school, and still to this day, I just hope everybody in the world will never forget the name Nick Bockwinkel. Because after he gave me that advice when I met him in Las Vegas, it worked for me still to this day. And I said thank you once, but I'll say thank you 1,000 more times. And I missed a guy.
That advice he gave you was great, too, because I kind of tell that to a lot of the young guys, too, because too, that's one thing people hear me complain about. A lot of the young guys will wrestle for their buddies in the back, and they worry about what their buddies in the back think instead of the crowd. And so when you told me that the advice he gave you, I thought that was great, because I always tell young guys, come back in the back, and they're like, oh, asking our buddies, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And I'm like, why are you worried what they think? They didn't pay one penny to see you. The people that are sitting out in those seats are the ones that paid to see you. And those are the only people that you should worry about what they think. You know, and so when you said that was the advice that Nick gave you, it kind of validated for me, the same similar advice that I give to people, actually.
Now, the question I want to, another one is, say in 50 years when people start looking back and wanting to know about the older wrestling, where do you think Nick Bockwinkel will stack up as a world champion? Let's start with superstar Steve Stardom on this one.
Oh, boy, 50 years from now. Well, hopefully there's still at that time true, as John said, wrestling fans. Because, see, to me, that to me is what wrestling was, you know. And, I mean, I even enjoy going back to, you know, the days of Hawk and Schmidt and Fez and, you know, Landis and Carpani, you know, and wrestling like that. Thing I tell new guys is, like you say, do your homework. It's very disheartening when young guys today won't even look on the, you know, can't even go on YouTube and look at the old matches from way, way, way back and see where everything started from, you know, with people like Strangler Lewis and guys like that, you know. And that was one of the nice things. The territories gave you variety, different styles, different things to look at. Today, the term cookie-cutter wrestler, there's too many of them out there. You know, they all want to look the same, wrestle the same, be the same, have the same interviews.
to me, there isn't wrestling anymore, especially on TV, with the exception maybe of a few that kind of try to stray along the lines and try to do it a little bit, but they still don't get the full homeopathic part of it. You've got to look back in the history. You got to watch the matches. You got to watch the ring, watch the crowds. Here's another big thing. Watch the crowds back in them days. You know, John, as mentioned, you're from Philadelphia. Well, you probably watch the old WWWF, but watch Madison Square Garden or the Boston Gardens or the Meadowlands or arenas like that, but sit and watch the difference between the crowds back then and watch the crowds today on TV and see how they react. Big thing missing is psychology. No psychology anymore, so you don't play upon the emotions of the fans and get them to come back. That was a nice thing back then, in those days. Brought up lots of guys' names, Buzz Sawyer, the Briscoe brothers, and I'm talking the old men, Jack and Jerry, two great wrestlers in their own rights, world champions, Terry and Dory Funk, millions of names I could go off on. But Nick Bockwinkel, the thing I hate to say is that I hope no one forgets him in 50 years. I mean, I hope I'm around 50 years yet, and I know I won't forget him. Unfortunately, again, with the way he was promoted in the AWA and things like that, it's sad to say that his name and his status is not comparable or not put into comparison with guys like Flair or Hogan or, names like that, that you can hear, boom, right who they are. I can go, could probably go anywhere in the world and say, do you know who Hulk Hogan is? Well, everybody's heard of Hulk Hogan. A lot of people have heard who Ric Flair is. But I could go somewhere else and say, you ever heard of Nick Bockwinkel? Probably a lot of people haven't, unfortunately. Unless you're a diehard mark and wrestling fan or you're in the business. But certainly, I hope Nick Bockwinkel's status and what he accomplished, what he represented as a champion and as a wrestler, I hope that's never forgotten by anybody that has a true appreciation for what we do.
And if you want to get on this conversation, the number to call is 646-668-8873 or ilove80swrestling@gmail.com. How about you, Chief?
Well, where do I think he'll be ranked, or where do I think he should be ranked?
Where do you think he should be ranked in 50 years?
Well, I guess really, it's hard to tell 50 years from now because I don't know what's going to come between now and then. Although I don't think we're going to, sadly, I don't think we're ever going to have the caliber of wrestlers again, that we've had in the past. In my opinion right now, I definitely put him in my top five wrestlers of all time. People like Nick Bockwinkel, Dick Murdoch, Ray Stevens is another great one, people like that. I definitely put him up there, probably in my top five for sure.
How about you, John?
I'm sorry. I apologize. Someone was talking to me here at my home. What was the question again? I do apologize.
Say in 50 years, where should Nick Bockwinkel be ranked as a world champion?
In my mind and in my heart?
Yeah.
Where should he be ranked? Oh, hell, number one. Why not number one? Why not? Out of all the legends, to me, okay, to someone that was young like me at that time when I first met him, all the legends that were there, I'm not going to name who they are, but they simply said to me was to look out for me. But I had a tag team partner. And I'm sitting at the same dinner table with Nick Bockwinkel, okay, and I just simply said, if there's any advice you can give to someone young like me, what would you say to me? And like I said, he said, don't worry about anybody, what they think in the locker room or how your match went. Worry about what them out there meant. What the fans thought. because, you know, you as a wrestler, you know you're going to, if you're losing the crowd, it's time for what we call, and I really don't care for kayfabe anymore because it died, it's time to take it home when you lose the crowd. So Nick gave me some great advice. As a young man coming into this business, you know, a lot of people don't really give advice anymore. You know, you were just discussing earlier, how these young guys come in and just think they know everything. You know, they don't even have to lace anybody else's boots up, especially ours, all of us old guys. They couldn't lace our boots right now.
A lot of times, John, they get offended when you try to give them, you know, some advice or pointers. They actually get offended by it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But there's a lot of guys right now, and I'll say it, that are on the top my roster for Top Rope Wrestling. The guys I have on my roster are so humble by this business. You know, I'll name a few, like made his Cage of Death debut last night, Eddie Blackwater. Another CZW star, Frankie Picard, who is also on my roster, my current Top Rope champion. These guys are so humbled by this business. Somebody named Dago is on my roster. Ravenheart, the first UIWA television champion. You know, all these guys are, these young guys are, they're all humble. Most of them aren't.
And here's the thing, too, John. Chief's been in the business 30 years. I know I've been in it 25. I still learn things.
Yeah.
After being in it 25 years, I still don't know everything.
You know, there was a I have a small show on YouTube, Top Rope TV. We run off of Synergy Broadcasting, and I've been trying to get a match that Chief sent me that I asked him to send me so we can show one of Chief's favorite matches. It doesn't matter if you're over or you're under. You know, I watched it, and I was like, oh, I just learned something. You know, I just retired after 20 years due to health. And now I have young guys that are going to the wrestling academy here at Local Wrestling Academy in Philadelphia. These guys, if I'm sitting there, they come to me and go, hey, John, am I doing that right? Young guys out there right now don't even ask that. They don't even care. They look at you like, hey, I just did that better than you. And you just look at them like, okay, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely. But my advice is, like the rest of the switchboard is saying, watch the old school matches. Watch them. You'll learn something. You'll actually learn some wrestling. I don't give a fuck about wrestling. If I can't curse on here, I'm sorry, but it gets me upset when there's no respect for old school.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. How about you, Steve Cox? Where do you think Nick Bockwinkel should be ranked?
I said, all these kids think New York is the only way to go. And, hell, I turned down New York twice because, hell, I had Japan. You know, hell, I ran around. You know, let me say a name. I broke in under Dr. Death and Bill Watts and Doc. I mean, hell, you know, who the hell is Dr. Death? What badass, wicked dick motherfucker, you know? As a matter of fact, when, you know, NWA or talk about UWF, you know, that's why they wouldn't give Doc a run against Flair, because, you know, Flair and Doc are such a discrepancy in talent and ability, and it's just not that Flair wasn't a great wrestler, just Doc was a badass, and plus, you know, Doc had Japan, you know, Doc was Big Godzilla over there, but, you know, who's Dr. Death, who's Nick Bockwinkel? You know, these kids nowadays, all they see is New York, and I die laughing, you know. And there's times I wish I would have went to New York to work, but I'd have been Steve the garbage man or Joe the plumber, you know. Back then, you know, when I was going through it, you know, Doc Vince was coming up with some goofy fucking shit. And then I have to tell you sometime about my experience. I went in, I rode with Bill Watts at Oklahoma City, and I was laughing because, you know, old Mankind, he just got started. Hell, I gave him. We go back sitting on the Birdcage Sportatorium, and I was like Philadelphia, PA, because, you know, him and Shane Doug Destroy Martin started that same out of Philadelphia, but, you know, to the consequences. But, you know, shit, I didn't know that was Vince's daughter. Why in the fuck you mad at me? But anyway, that's a whole other story. But that's where Triple H China, hell, I got a whole run of that shit. But you know, Nick Bockway, what the true consummate people that love wrestling, I meant that, you know, wine or whatever it may be, you know, but people that really have an appreciation for wrestling will have to understand the territories and how they fit in with New York and the way it was done back then. That, you know, and I had Missing Link, you know, tell me, you know, sooner or later everybody goes through New York, which is true, because in my day, there's probably only 300, 400 of us in the whole wide world that made a living at that business. Real small, clear, kayfabe, kizayfizze, mizark, kizaykizan, tizak, kizal, night, kizay long, you know, to where you know the business. And it's funny you'd say that, like kids today, you know, I'm bringing in talent from all over the United States, and I'm not going to use old school guys because shit, they can't draw, they're cranky and mean. But, you know, I got me some tools that are fucking clueless wonders, but they're hilarious, that, you know, good man meat. But where does the territory sit and how they were and what they brought to it and the money? Because people don't realize that in the territory days, we still made good money. Now, when you go to New York, you make great money. But, you know, and then you make your run in New York, and then you wear out your bib, and you go back down to territories, you bounce around, you still make a living. Or you go to Japan. But see, at my time, when all this shit was going on, territories were falling apart, and I was fortunate enough to be working in Japan. And last thing I wanted to do, you know, when Eric Bischoff called and all the shit that was going on down there, and at the time in New York, you know, when I, you know, I was just trained, if you get New York, you don't ever give it up. But they got to understand that whole back end. And, I, you know, there's really not a story to all that, how the territories were set up, how they were run. Everybody had respect for everybody and these young kids, because it's just like the gentleman on the top ropes running shows, you know. You know, I'll be doing my third show. We're already in the money. We're working with casinos. We got two other groups wanting to talk to us. But when I run my card, I'm making a big man card. I'm old school UWF, WCCW, Von Erich, Romp Stomp, motherfucker. I wish I could lape up my boots. I'd fucking have a bad deliverance scene in the ring if you don't carry on the business where it needs to be done. Because, you know, literally, I broke in my first 2 years in the business out of UWF and all that. Shit, I had 600 matches. And with these kids today, it's wrestling, for Christ's sakes, but the formula is the same. Now, you show me some innovation. Heat come back, heat come back, heat come back, fired up, take it on, give me a great finish. Fuck, shit, no change. Tag team match. Fuck, set the heat, come back, keep setting the heat, hot tag, then we'll figure out the smiles at the end. But I'm working with these kids. I got a couple of tools that just crack your ass up. But, you know, they look good. You know, they're real pretty boys. That's why I wish I could suit up and stomp the shit out of them. But anyway, but they're good for business. And I like how what the guy said. People, you know, at his group, they really respect old school. But it's kind of funny. You know, who do you listen to nowadays to learn about the business? Who the fuck you going to listen to? And the funny part is, you know, you said two times, my tag, when I was a tag champion, Michael Hayes was my tag champion. I was running against Fox 2 and Sammy with Buddy Roberts. We were stealing it. They were running, we tied in with Tennessee with Jerry Lawler. I worked with Muda. Hell, I sold out the Tokyo Dome going against Muda. But, you know, who the hell do you listen to? And then I'm on the flip side in this promoting deal. We're doing about one a month. Well, we're picking up at the casinos. We're kind of a new thing. MMA is dying out, you know. And I literally look for the top talent from East Coast, West Coast. I love Andrew Anderson. Everybody sees him. I bring him in. And I work it up against a good kid out of Vegas. And then I got Tokyo. I work with a local kid. Got a lot of stuff with New York here. But, you know, I'm laughing. My partner is like, what are we doing? I'm like, fuck out. Yeah, who the fuck do I call and say, listen, if it works or not, per se? And but with these kids, and after the second show, all these guys have figured out, I do old school. I bring in a guy named John Keaton. If you go back and watch Ric Flair and the Von Erichs, and he worked all those matches. And this kid, back in our day, guys, you had baby face, heels, separated, rest carried your finish, that was it. Time, finish, let's go. And Keith's real good about setting up my matches and all this, but I literally, the formula don't change. The first match is this, your second match is that. Now, get as innovative as you want, but here's the format I need you to follow.
and the kids have been pretty good about it, and they're getting a feel that, you know, we're really doing some old school stuff here. But here's the best part, guys. The casino people, the crowd and all this are like, holy fuck, this shit was fun. Main event draws, the card keeps coming them back. And I'm telling you, from my first match, last match, abilities matches and kids, and when I'm doing stuff, I think when I'm promoting, in my mind, would Vern Gagne be proud? Would Bill Watts, and I talk to Bill Watts quite a bit, I talk to JR, you know what I'm saying? I talk with people about putting us all together, but I think I got the formula down. But these kids, God love them, they're fucking clueless, but who do they listen to, you know? And I still got one now. I went on a rant. I'm sorry, guys. That's kind of where it's at. But, you know, I feel fortunate. My 12, I count like 12 years in the business, and I'm jumping back in. But we're popping. I mean, and I'm sure you see it on the East Coast, West Coast. I'm looking at all these. I literally look around, see what's trying to work for other people, and I'm trying to steal it. You know, if it's working, I'm taking it. If it's not, don't want to mess with it. But anyway, the Nick Bockwinkel, if you understand the business, he's one of the giants in the business. Think about it. He carried one territory, never had to leave, top guy, star for 20 fucking years. Never had to leave.
Yeah.
So definitely. That's my deal is. So it's just like Frisk down in Texas. You know what I'm saying? You can look at Lawler in Memphis. Yeah. Great guys. They carried that whole territory for 40 years. So,
Okay, now the last question I'll be asked, how should Nick Bockwinkel be remembered? Let's start with Chief on this one.
He should be remembered.
I don't mean to interrupt. Hey, guys, I'm going to have to go. Thank you. Right. Call me anytime you need me. I appreciate your time. I apologize. I got to step out early.
Thank you. Thank you for being part of it, Steve Cox. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, I think he should definitely be remembered as one of the top guys ever, one of the greatest champions. To me, I mean, I know, you know, and I like Vern too. Vern's really revered, but to me, Bockwinkel was the AWA champion for me. I think hopefully, you know, he'll be remembered, like we said, 50 years from now. Class act. Very innovative, especially in his promos. And I think one thing that Steve said is true. You know, as much as I love Flair, a lot of times you can sit down and kind of somewhat call a Flair match, and you can with a lot of people because we all have a lot of our basic things we do in every match. But I think, you know, that's one thing I was thinking when he said that. You think back to Bockwinkel's matches, and he didn't really have a, you know, a basic formula. He didn't do the same stuff all the time, you know. I mean, there were some moves he would do, but, you know, he really did put together a different match every night, if you think about it. You can go back and watch a lot of his stuff, you know, even on YouTube. It's you know, the matches don't all look the same. And so I think he was, you know, one of the great innovators, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. How about you, Superstar Steve Stardom?
Well, first of all, I just want to make this comment before, in case I'm cut off or something. It's been one of the most enjoyable hours I've had in participating in a long time. It was an honor being with four gentlemen today that I respect very much by their viewpoints and by their respect of the old school way of wrestling, as we call it. I thank you for letting me share this forum and this subject matter today with you. Very well done with Nick Bockwinkel. I think was a little, in his own way, innovative for his time. Again, his promos were off the charts, certainly different from everyone else's. His mannerisms as a heel, again, he didn't necessarily have to insult you with derogatory comments. He would just simply cut you down and put you down and over intelligence to death, basically. Definitely in the top five greatest champions ever. And again, you can go back a long, 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 long way to 1905, but definitely top five. And one thing or two I want to touch on what Chief just said with Nick as well. Yeah, you're making the Flair Bockwinkel comparisons earlier. Yeah, Flair's matches, I hate to say, yeah, very predictable in what you would see, and you could pretty much call them pretty much, you know, from the opening bell to the end. Nick, yes, again, I had the opportunity and pleasure to see Nick wrestle live many, many times and on TV, and yeah, he could switch it up. He did not have to wrestle the same match every night, and that was dependent upon who he was in the ring with, too. Again, you've got to switch your repertoire up depending upon who you're in there with. You can't wrestle an Autobahn, like you would wrestle a Vern Gagne, or a Hogan, or a Rick Martel. Totally different people. You have to change your strategy. Nick could do that. And definitely, I hope, you know, as time goes on into eternity, that he's definitely remembered for his accomplishments, that being a great, great, classy wrestler that he was.
And for me, Nick Bockwinkel, I agree with both of you that he should be remembered as one of the classiest, one of the, I mean, he can talk to you, like you guys said, and insult you with all these big words, and you'd be like, sitting there, and I was like, what did he say? But, yeah, Nick Bockwinkel should be remembered as one of the, she said, within the top five, one of the greatest, within the top five of the greatest world champions ever. Now, Superstar Steve Sturban, you have a story that you put up on your Facebook page. Go ahead and tell that story right now about meeting Nick Bockwinkel.
AWA used to come to Eau Claire, Wisconsin a lot, and they used to wrestle at North High School. Regis High School and North High School were two very popular stops for them. Tell you a real quick story. Met Nick after a match one night. Again, this is a smaller venue, so he would stick around for a little bit, give you a few autographs and stuff. I wanted to get a picture with him. Nick had his AWA championship belt with him, that nice big silver one that he always had. And he walked up to me. I was sophomore in high school, actually. And he come up. He was going to put the belt around my waist and strap it on me and then take a picture with me. And I grabbed it and kind of handed it back to him. I said, no, I said, I will not put a champ one of these belts around my waist until I win one. And he looked at me with the strangest little look on his face and didn't say nothing and just kind of gave me a smile and nodded his head. And he kind of patted me on the shoulder. He said, all right, let's get our picture, kid. I got a plane to catch. And, the rest is history as far as my career goes, I guess. But yeah, very, very nice. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, Legends Reunion. He was there. I remember him pushing Johnny Valentine in a wheelchair up to the stage. We actually had the opportunity to sit at the same table during the banquet ceremony with Nick and Don Morocco, Jimmy Snuka. Some different ones were there. And but, yeah, I just, oh, my God, go on forever. Matches I've seen, just watched. Harley Race, I watched an interview by Harley Race the other day. He used Nick as his partner in Japan. They were in a big tournament years back, and Harley said he always hated getting in there because they would progress through this tournament each night. Harley would start the match one night, Nick would start the other night. Harley said he hated getting in there, especially with Stan Hansen or Brody. That was their opponents, and Ray said he just hated working guy like Hansen. He didn't mind Brody quite so much, but Hansen, he didn't like working with Hansen. So, when I watched him and Harley against Mil Máscaras and Bill Scaras, brothers. Just lots and lots and lots and lots of matches and just memories I could come up with about Nick Bockwinkel.
Well, I want to thank Superstar Steve Sturban for being on here. I want to thank Chief Atakula Kula for being on here. I want to thank Steve Cox for being on here and John. I think it's Zinder Jr. Is that right, Chief?
What's that? Yeah, John Linder Jr. Yeah,
John Linder Jr. for being my guest today. And I hope all of you will be back on my show sometime. And keep watching 80s Wrestling and keep coming back here listening to this podcast. And you can go to the Facebook page of I Love 80s Wrestling and the Twitter account. I think that's how you pronounce it, Twitter. It's ILA80W podcast, and you can find the podcast up there, and you can find it here on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. And like I said, I want to thank you, Steve Stardom, and Chief at Kula Kula, and Steve Cox, and John Leonard Jr. for being on here on my show, and I hope you guys will be back soon.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure. I'd love to come back again.
Thanks for having me.
This is Scott Middleton, host of I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. When I want to listen to a podcast, I listen to Body Slam, the competition weekly podcast. They talk about nowadays wrestling. They talk about 80s wrestling, 70s wrestling, all the older wrestling too. So do what I do. Listen to Body Slam, the competition weekly podcast. You can find it on iTunes.